Hello there, you're listening to Makeshift Radio, and I'm Maren Slatcha here with Kai McLaughlin to talk about what drives us. Some are driven by positive reinforcement, but Kai has seemed to be pushed by negative reinforcement even more. She's here to tell us her story of how she came into her own in the sport of track. So Kai, how did you get into track?
Okay, so I was in 7th grade, and I had a friend who was joining track that year, because that was the first year you could do modified track, and he was really excited about it. He's like, come on, Kai, please just join, please. It'll be fun. I'm like, oh, God, no, I don't want to. Eventually, I found out that you could get a free t-shirt that said Ithaca track on it with a foot, and I'm like, oh, all right. And then, for me, that was worth it. I liked collecting t-shirts.
So you continued doing track until now, until you got to the varsity level?
Yeah, I was in modified for 2 years, of course, and, you know, I was really good at it. I won mostly everything. And then I hit varsity in 9th grade for varsity track, and my gosh, it was different.
So was competing at this higher level really scary for you, or what?
Hell yes. I was so freaking scared. I was like the little freshman who's like a little meerkat in the safari about to be eaten by a lion, I felt like, even though that wasn't true. But I started varsity, and it was... I mean, first of all, the captains, I felt like they were track gods or something that I couldn't talk to, with like Elizabeth Reamer and Claire McIlvaney, and they were so amazingly good at everything. I was like, I am unworthy, and I seriously worshipped them, and being thrown into that high of competition, you know, when I was in 9th grade, I did not expect to ever compete that year, especially because there were so many good people on the team, and the coach was always go on and say things like, most of you freshmen are not going to compete this year. But then we had time trials that day. We had to run a 300 and a 100. My 100 time was decent, you know. Then my 300 time, I guess it was pretty good, and the coach was so shocked that I hadn't run the 400 before, and that's when I got thrown into the 400, the worst race in the world.
So did doing these things completely scare you, or were you at all more confident because you realized that you were better than you thought to be able to compete at this varsity level?
Well, certainly a confidence booster to be told, oh, you could be a point scorer this year, you know, if you keep going at it. But, I mean, it wasn't not intimidating. It was incredibly scary to be brought to the weekend invitationals on Saturdays where we'd go and there'd be, like, maybe 20, 25 teams there, all the best of the best. You know, some of these girls were the best in the state, some of them ranked nationally, and I had no idea what was going on ever. I would just sit there cowering in fear, hoping someone would tell me what to do. People always say that the 400 and the 800 are like the two hardest races you can possibly do in track, because, you know, you have to have incredible endurance and be able to sprint fast. And of course I couldn't do the 800 because back then I hadn't done cross country or distance or anything, so 400 seemed like the good thing for me. First of all, I did not know how to run the race. I was never told how to run the race. So I just kind of booked it every time, and just in a desperate attempt to hope to finish the race alive. My first meet ever at Windsor, it was really freaking cold. Like, really, really cold. It was snowing, and I felt so bad for the steeplechasers who were in tank tops and shorts in the snow, jumping into water. One of them fell into the steeplechase pit, and she was covered head to toe in water. So it was pretty scary. I was like seeing these people do this. I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope that doesn't happen to me. But of course it wouldn't, because I'm not doing steeplechase. But I did the 400 at this meet for the first time ever. And of course I was not put in the fastest heat because I had never done it before. And I did the race. I did okay. Maybe got like 64 or so. You know, that's decent. It's not amazing. It definitely showed potential. But I remember during that race, it was so cold. I was at the blocks. I'm like, get me out of here. I just want to finish this race alive. I had no idea how to run it. And then after it was over, I just turned to my right and looked at the coach, looking desperately into his eyes for his approval to see if I did anything. And I would do that for many races after that, just mentally breaking down in the middle of it, being like, oh God, I don't want to do this. Get me out of here. I just want to finish the race. But not like I want to finish the race as in I'm going to go really fast so I can finish the race faster. It's more like I'm going to die, so I should probably slow down.
You said that at the end of the race, you'd look to your coach for approval. Did you not get his approval, or did you get it, and did it just not inspire you to keep trying? Like, what did you do to keep pushing yourself?
I mean, the coach, you know, I definitely was looking for his approval. Early on, it wasn't that important because I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. But especially as time went on, he saw my potential during practice. You know, he saw what I was doing and what I could do in the future. So his expectations were getting higher and higher. And the criticism started pouring in. Well, it first started off with definitely encouragement. You know, that didn't really affect me. I still mentally broke down if people were yelling at me like, yeah, go Kai, because the coaches, whenever I'd be criticized harshly, it would definitely make me go faster because I've just felt guilty, I guess, for doing a poor job. When I would continue to race meet after meet, and I would break down in the middle of the 400 every time. It was so miserable. I just didn't know how to get past this and how to push myself into the amount of pain it takes to know that you put your all into it. I would see the captain, Liz, after her 400 or 800 or whatever she had run that day, and she would be on the ground looking like she was about to die, even during practice. And I'm thinking, how does one push oneself to that extreme where you would be on the ground completely unable to breathe? And I knew that that's what it would take to see what my full potential was at the time. And I needed to figure out a way to get to that point. You know, like they always say, ballerinas, you train yourself to go into an amount of pain. Like when they go on point, if anybody who didn't do ballet tried that, they would pass out from the pain, because it's a completely mental battle. But definitely in freshman year, I wasn't physically strong enough to handle that many races all at once in the competition. It was just too much for me.
So how did you go from then just not being physically strong enough to do your best to now, where you know what you're doing and you're confident?
By sophomore year, I practiced the race and I got more of an idea how to run it. Especially going to track camp, I was taught how to run it a little bit better, like the techniques and the physics of it all. In sophomore year, I still struggled with the same mental battle, but I had to meet Waverly. It was so hot out. It was like the blazing sun, 95 degrees, incredibly humid, no shade. People were dropping like flies, puking everywhere. It was disgusting. We couldn't, even in the tent too, that was gross. And so many people were getting heat exhaustion, and my race was coming up, the 400. And Harmony, the girl who runs with me, wasn't there, so this race, the points were all set on me, and Waverly's a pretty good team, you know. At that point, because sophomore year, I developed enough where I could put on a lot more muscle than freshman year. Like, I was definitely stronger, but the mental thing still killed me. So I started this race. My competition was pretty tough, you know. There's two Waverly girls, and the Waverly girls are the best 400 runners, some of the best 400 runners in the state. And a couple other ones, they looked very intimidating, and I'm like, oh shit, well, I'm just gonna do this and really hope that it works. And so I start off the race, and I'm feeling good that day. I don't know if it was something that I ate or what, but I was definitely feeling good. So in the 400, you never know who's gonna win until you get around the second curve, because that's when the staggered starts all even out. By the time I got around the second curve, you know, pretty much everybody was even, well, at least like four or five of us. And I was thinking, you know, I still have some strength left in me. I have potential to win this race, which I had never felt before. I just wanted to get it over with, and you know, and I'd always break down in the middle. But I was running and we were so close at the last 50 meters, so close. And I'm thinking, yeah, I could really win this if I push myself. So I got yelled at, the coaches were yelling at me and really angry, kind of like, we need this. And I ran to the finish, and I had that look on my face of, like, I had just pushed myself to my breaking point completely, and I could not move another inch after I crossed that finish line, and I was so close to the two Waverly girls in front of me. Even though I didn't get first place, even though they beat me, I knew I had reached my potential right then and there, and the coaches, I was expecting them to be kind of upset, you know, because I got third place, but they weren't. They were proud.
So even though you didn't win first place, it must have completely boosted your confidence. I mean, did it help you in later races because you knew that you now had a chance and knew how far you could push yourself?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because before then, my body had never felt the fastest I could run for a 400 because I hadn't been able to push myself to that point. So now that I knew what it felt like, that it was definitely a confidence booster because I knew what I could do in the future. and the coaches knew what I could do. But then again, it also added tons more pressure to be faster and faster and like consistently get that time.
So did that affect you in other aspects of your life?
Definitely. Doing this, it was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. And up until eighth grade, I had just been coasting through life. I mean, school was easy. I won sports all the time, played viola, you know, everything. It was just a walk in the park. You know, I didn't have any competition. But then hitting high school, this was definitely like a wake-up call to sort of what it takes in life to be successful. And then I was able to push myself and do better in every aspect of my life.
Well, if that's not a true sports story, I don't know what is. You went from the bottom to the top in so many aspects of your life. I hope you can perfect your 400. Thank you so much for coming on today. That's all we have for now. Have a great day, everyone.